streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of After the Dead. The Walking Dead episode 1002 is in the books, and we're going to break it down with all of that expert insight, intel, and every drop of enthusiasm you come to After the Dead for. I am Brandon Davis. My friends call me BD, and I am joined, as always, by none other than Janelle Wheeler.
Hello, everybody. Very excited to be here. This is really cool. We are a podcast.
Oh, my God.
We can, like, I can honestly say I'm a podcast host.
Yeah.
This is really
what
exciting.
What can't you do? There's nothing. And math. Also,
I'm really bad at math. Sorry, I hesitated. I'm really
also
bad at math.
Here is Charlie Ridgely.
Hello.
Charlie's a longtime Walking Dead fan. He goes in and out of the fandom. He's pretty honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I dip in and out. I finally caught up on Walking Dead, though, and it's better than it's been in... But, 7 years?
I feel like everyone should watch the Walking Dead episode with you.
That's aggressive. I think the show maybe had a lull, but not for 7 years.
I mean, I'm a Darabont purist, so the first two seasons are big to me.
Wow. But
the show's great now, that's the point.
You can send him your thoughts at hashtag After the Dead. Episode 1002, it was all about the Whisperers. It was more or less a bottle episode of sorts, but it was kind of like two bottles, because one was in the past, one was in the present, so we were double-fisting with those bottles. I'll allow it. Immediate reaction to the episode before we dive in. I'll start. I thought this episode was great. I think this is the episode one. The season 10 premiere was really good, and this episode was better. Both were directed by Greg Nicotero, who I think probably had more fun with this episode because I know he loves doing the gags and the blood and the gore and the horror elements, and having a guy at the end of a hallway with a machete and a mask on is very horror genre heavy, and I know that was pretty cool. But it was cool to kind of unmask the Whisperers a little bit. And I wish that we were talking about this before we started recording, that the show had these characters back when 17 million people were watching, because more people would be here and it would be more fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the show's so good, but there's just no way to get that many people watching again. It's too late. But it's great. It's the best it's been in years. How many years? We'll leave that up for debate. But it's I think so. Anyway, your reactions?
I was just blown away. I love getting backstories. I've always loved those. And I know some of the fans don't really like to have the origin stories. But just seeing Alpha and Beta meet, seeing Alpha when she was kind of like transitioning Lydia from, you know, sweet daughter to... you know, a Whisperer. It was just really cool. I loved it. I was freaking out the whole time. There were many times that I had to like cover my eyes because of the gore, and I missed that on the show. I love having to get sick during The Walking Dead, and it was great. I loved it.
R.I.P. Glenn. Charlie?
I mean, I really enjoyed it, and it was, you talk about bottle episodes. Like, some of my favorite episodes of The Walking Dead are bottle episodes, but also some of my least favorite, some of what I think are the worst episodes of The Walking Dead are bottle episodes. And the show's really had an inconsistent track record with doing those. And I think this was definitely on the upper end of those bottle episodes. I really enjoyed the pace. I loved the so well written this episode. And it was really gory and really Nicotero in that way. And I mean, I'm a huge Sons of Anarchy fan. And so to see Ryan Hurst, you know, get to really play and explore and do deeper things. Yeah, it was really fun to watch him in that role.
We have a lot to talk about Ryan Hurst and his Beta character. We're going to do that. Real quick, before we take a quick break, I forgot what I was going to say. What did you say? I totally
about the bottle episodes.
Oh, the bottle episodes. Yeah, the bottle episodes. I feel like bottle episodes weren't always bad. Like, the governor had a bottle episode,
right,
and that was
so
entertaining.
Good.
But hold on. I want to, on three, we didn't rehearse this. I want to see if this works. And this isn't the character's fault, but I want to, on three, see if we all name the same character who was at the forefront of the worst bottle episode ever.
Okay.
All right, ready? One, two, three.
Morgan. Tara. Oh, see, I didn't like
Charlie
it.
And the best
I didn't like it. I hated
the Morgan episode.
The Morgan
I didn't like it.
Oh, that's the best
until
episode.
Eastman got bit in the back. Like,
the
wait,
Eastman
why
episode
did you,
but
so
I was,
why did you get bit like that, bro?
I don't know.
I love the
that's
Eastman
so
episode.
Funny.
Tara's
can I be really honest? Can I be really honest? I completely forgot about her episode.
Yeah, that's how bad
why.
It was.
That was it's
but
that
also,
bad,
like, going back to season 7, had that story, had season 7 not been a series of bottle episodes, and they all kind of happened at the same time, and AMC wasn't afraid to ask their actors to work for consecutive weeks and actually paid people to do it well enough that they wouldn't mind,
he said it.
Then it would have been okay. But that story ended up being really frustrating because it was episode 6 of a season that was already moving slowly.
It was 2.5 seasons after you had a mini season of bottled episodes in the lead up to
Terminus.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. And it was like, you know, those were great bottled episodes.
I'm just glad we're on the same page.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. You're going to hear a message from another cool podcast, I think, or whatever happens here. And then we'll be right back. See you in a sec.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby Antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back on After the Dead. I'm Brandon Davis, joined by Janelle Wheeler and Charlie Ridgely. We're breaking down episode 1002 of The Walking Dead. Alpha and Beta met in this episode, and I thought it was cool to see that. We never really got to explore this in the comics. We had hints of it, but never this sort of backstory that we got in episode 1002. It started with a random woman getting eaten by zombies, which was cool because it's been a while since we've seen that. I think she needs her own spinoff show because it seems like everybody gets a spinoff now. How'd she get there? What did she do? Where are her kids? Where's her husband? Was she alone the whole time? I have so many questions.
I want to know how she got in that wreck.
Yeah, how'd she get in the car crash? Was that the sanctuary?
Why did she crawl into the car like a moron?
Because it was maybe that was an episode 1 Easter egg, Rick under the tank. I don't know. That's what.
Well, it was early on in the apocalypse. People were very unfamiliar with how to navigate. I don't know.
It should have been like 3 years in, I guess. I don't know. It said 7 years ago. We don't know how many years have passed.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
A big time jump. Then there was the actual events of the series, which were multiple.
I don't even know how many times.
I love that we're taking so much care thinking about this woman in the car.
Yeah, well,
this is great.
Listen, I watched her get her nose ripped off. That's a terrible.
So did Lydia, and that was a problem.
Lydia didn't enjoy that, so they went into this little. I'm pretty sure that was a remastered version of the Sanctuary set. It was just supposed to be like, a warehouse or a hospital or something, a mental hospital. I
loved that. I thought the mental hospital was
really
terrifying,
cool.
Awesome. I expect to see that at Halloween Horror Nights. They have the Walking Dead haunted mansion sometimes at Universal. And oh my gosh, so cool.
But between Alpha meeting Beta and the tension that was in that scene and that woman getting eaten felt like classic Walking Dead to me.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
I like getting back to that. When's the last time we saw someone get ripped apart by zombies?
That's the show we fell in love with. Like we, when this show came on, like we loved having a horror series that was so different than everything else on TV. Like it was gruesome at times; it made you want to look away, but you couldn't look away because it was so good.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a zombie show. And yeah, that we have so much more about the people now. And at the core of the show was always the family and the group, but it was shocking, weird, crazy, unseen television. And I think that for a long time, the show kind of got away from that. Not that everything needs to shock you, but you know, stylistically, it moved away from what it was.
Personally speaking, I never watched horror movies. I was very afraid. I hated blood and guts, even like anything. And then this show came out and that was my start. That was my start to horror and just gruesome stuff. And it was cool.
I remember watching the first episode when Rick shoots that little zombie girl and thinking that was heavy, like being like, ooh, and then here I am 7 years later watching a guy's eye pop out at a baseball
game. And really, I honestly think that's the point that it turned.
Yeah.
When we saw Glenn, when Negan did what Negan did, as much as I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, like when that took off, it really like, they just like, we don't know how to go up from here. We don't know I think Gimple had a really hard time elevating it and changing it and evolving it from there. And it kind of entered that lull for the last couple of years.
Yeah, season 7 was interesting, to say the least. but then let's talk about Ryan Hurst Beta. I know Charlie is a huge Ryan Hurst fan. That was your first interview ever, right? In person?
It was one of my first. It was at first, right after I got hired here, we went to an event in Atlanta, and I got to meet Ryan Hurst, which was like one of my heroes at the time.
Yeah.
That's
and that
awesome.
Was like the coolest Cloud Nine thing for me. You
he's
know,
a like big fella.
Starting out, yeah. He's
how was it? Like, how did it go?
Oh, he was the sweetest guy in the world, but it was like, he's, you know, a full foot taller than me almost.
That's so
like, not
awesome.
Quite, because then he'd be a 7 foot tall man.
He's like 6'6".
And not just six, tall, seven. But very, very, like, you see him physically imposing on the show, and that's how big he really is in real life.
It's like it's not, is Alpha just tiny or is he giant? Now we know he's just giant.
So Man in the Moor is kind of normal size.
Yeah.
He's tall.
Yeah.
No, that's Gary Bertier from Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my that's linebacker. Awesome.
Right Opie Winston, man.
Oof.
Forever.
But okay, so there's a big theory about Beta that I feel like it wasn't confirmed in this episode, but it's really fueling it. In the comics, Beta is a former basketball player, which could make sense because he's a giant dude and he's just massive and he would mm-hmm. be famous, and that might be why he wears a mask. But right off the bat, when Alpha and Beta meet in this episode, he's wearing a mask. No particular reason. He's just wearing a mask. He's not robbing a place. He's not hiding, you know. So why is he wearing that mask? I think it's because he's famous. And I think he's not a basketball player in this. I think he is a musician. And there are a couple so of cool. reasons. So in this episode, this started on Fear the Walking Dead. There was an album cover that Daniel Salazar was covering. He dropped it. We saw it really quickly. And it had a guy wearing a cowboy hat, kind of covering his face, but it had the beard and the hair, and it looked a lot like Ryan Hurst.
And that person is 100%.
It
no
looked a lot like Ryan Hurst. Also, Ryan Hurst favorited my tweet about that theory.
Oh, snap.
Or not my tweet. Somebody screenshot my article or my tweet or something, and he favorited that. So it was like, oh, he knows about it at least. And then in tonight's episode, we had Beta tell Alpha to stop singing. He doesn't want to hear songs ever. The only sound he never wants to hear end is the sound of the dead, because music pisses him off. He had pictures of himself with the face scratched out. Alpha saw his face in the episode, and she gave a look like, oh, that makes sense.
And so, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was great.
Yeah. Lydia saw it too.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like, that's why you're wearing a mask.
And they're Southern, and the cowboy hat, right, and
he would be a country music singer.
Music.
She would be jamming out with a Red Solo cup on the weekends before the apocalypse to his music.
Alpha was humming Walking After Midnight by Patsy Cline, and I was digging that. It was, that's such a good song, because they're
walking. How does that
song? Walking.
I don't know that song. How does that song go?
I go out walking after midnight. In the moonlight. It's so good.
And didn't have to pay for that show.
Dude, it is really, really such a good song. If you actually Google the lyrics and you look up all the lyrics from the song, you're like, oh my God, I have goosebumps, because it's like creepy if you think about it in like the Walker sense.
So it makes perfect sense for Beta to be a musician.
Yeah.
He's hiding his face because he's famous, which I don't really, you know, it's the apocalypse.
I think there's something to do with the partner too. I think they say, like, he's like, oh, you know, then I have to leave him.
Like a bandmate.
I think it was.
Yeah,
I think
a producer or a band
or a duo. Or
see, I was thinking brother, but
together. I mean, it might have been brothers
too.
Yeah,
no, I like that idea.
Like they made music together, and you know, that was his like that. Why I don't want to hear music anymore. Like, music's dead to me. All I want to hear is the sound of the dead.
Yeah,
because there is his partner or brother, or whatever, making the sounds of the dead.
Whoa,
and he's wearing his T-shirt and his face and hair, as we learned. And so I think there's something deeper with that we'll explore later, but I really like that they didn't go too far into it. They left it, they gave us some closure, but really like kind of kept that carrot in front of
us. Maybe he's a rapper. He's got gold teeth.
That too.
He's somewhere in the hip hop scene.
It's actually Chris Stapleton.
You know, there is hip hop. You know what hip hop is, right? That's the country.
Hip
hop.
Yeah, it's a
country music rap whole genre. Oh yeah.
I'm not touching that. but also the story in the present timeline was fueled by Gamma, who's played by Thora Birch, who, if you're like, oh, she looks so familiar. Yeah, that's because she was in Hocus Pocus, and we all saw that.
So cool.
But good to see people coming back into the forefront. But it was a cool story. It tied back to the episode where Daryl went up to the front of the hilltop. Lauren Ridloff, Connie, took the baby. And that scene was really cool. I remember that was one of my favorite scenes, when they played with her being deaf in the cornfield and not knowing
that's
where the zombies
so
were coming
crazy.
From. But so it tied back to that. Gamma's sister, unnamed, was the woman who gave up the baby. She wasn't really okay with it. And as a result, started freaking out. And but it also kind of showed that some of the people in the Whisperers have a sense of humanity, including Alpha. But first, I mean, Gamma didn't have that sense. Which is crazy. Like, it was just, she really is ruthless and barbaric to the point where she will pull her sister off of Alpha, throw her under a herd of walkers in order to protect her leader.
Yeah. It's crazy how loyal some people become to their abusive captor.
But also, Alpha showed mercy.
I know. Well, yeah. Alpha is going through some stuff.
Well, and that's Alpha's always been merciful. And I think that Lydia is a clear weakness to her. I mean, she's merciful in the sense of her daughter.
Yeah, I think that's the only regard.
And she did cut off nine
first
heads.
Girl.
Yeah.
She could not, I think it reminded her of her daughter.
Yeah.
Because the girl had weaknesses the same way Lydia did.
Yeah.
And it really, like, she saw that and she noticed it. And that's why she didn't let anyone kill the girl. Because she's like this, I think she saw this as her second chance with Lydia. And then the girl did what she did. And then now she's left with Gamma, who is more like Beta than like her.
Yeah, and this, I mean, it absolutely ties back to Lydia, because if you go back to last season when that woman, what did she do to get her head cut off? I don't remember what she did.
It was something not even close.
She just kind of questioned Alpha, yeah. Right? Yeah. And had her boyfriend there or something. And then she questioned
Alpha.
They thought
about leaving, I think.
Cost people their lives, didn't do anything like that. And Alpha cut her head off right there,
mm-hmm.
just to make a point. And then meanwhile, when Alpha can relate to this woman who lost the kid, mm-hmm. she's like, you get a pass. And Beta's like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
But I thought that's interesting that they're really humanizing Alpha a bit. She's still the villain of the show.
Yeah.
You know, she's not doing good things to people. But it's interesting. I feel like this is what they tried to do with Negan.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really work that well. Most people were like, he's...
Negan was so funny, too. It was a very weird dynamic because his comedy was always at the forefront. But this kind of gives you an opportunity to dive in. And it never makes you feel like... You never root for Alpha, really, but you empathize and you feel what Alpha's feeling. And it's really, I mean, already one of the deeper villains, if not the deepest villain in The Walking Dead.
I'm telling you, I think had Alpha been the villain, when 17 million people were watching, ratings would still be going up.
Yeah.
She's so good. Samantha Morton is so good. The Whisperers are so interesting.
Because in the comic, I mean, part of it was because of the launch of the show, but the sales for the comic were, as you know, just as great as ever when the Whisperers were introduced. And part of that was because the show was going on and people were paying attention.
It's always hard to tell that. It's always hard to separate that, but
right, you know, that was the peak of the comic and everyone was paying attention.
Right. I do have one question, though. Why do the Whisperers feel the need to, like, have a posture that is consistent with zombies? Like, why is Gamma walking, like, hunched over? The walkers aren't going to tell them apart.
I know.
You can walk straight up as long as you keep quiet.
I think some of them, like, Beta doesn't hunch. Beta barely, he just kind of struts around. But I think it's in case they run into humans.
Right, I think that's
like, they do not want to give away that they aren't walkers.
Yeah, I mean, that's their big element of surprise. Like, when they ran into survivors, you know, last season, it was like, they had no idea where they were. It seemed in the comic like they had no idea where they were coming from because they blended in so well.
Yeah. And a couple more things I want to talk about this episode before we talk about the big Walking Dead news that came out this week and that third series that we got a look at. Just the ending of the episode. I think Greg Nicotero did such a cool job directing this. And I don't know if this goes to the script or if this is on the director or both. Very well could be an effort. It's all collaboration. But the way it all ended and it tied together, I really liked the way it was intercut with the Beta and Alpha switching roles, where in the present, Alpha was losing her mind, and in the past, Beta was kind of losing his mind over whoever that guy was getting killed. He was kind of going full governor and keeping somebody alive as a zombie. I thought the flipping out part was kind of cheesy. And maybe Samantha Morton's accent came on a little heavy sometimes, and then it doesn't. She's just like, what was she saying when she was flipping out?
I can't remember.
She's not like us or something. She wasn't like me.
It's not lock.
She's not like me. But I know that the flipping out part was kind of cheesy, but then the way they did the parallels, it was clever. And then him cutting the mask off, and then it cuts from cutting the guy's face off, and then it cuts straight to him wearing that face. I thought it was very clever, and it just shows how... Well, how good the writing is
mm-hmm.
on the show right now.
It's great.
I mean, I think the writing has been so good since Angela Kang took over. And it's something I said earlier when we were watching the episode, like the callback to the baby, you know, the girl who left the baby, that might have been planned from the beginning, and it seems like it was. It also could have been something that they picked up in this season to tell the Gamma story.
It's a full
but
Kevin
either
Feige
way.
Thing.
Either way, they did it so seamlessly. Like, they pulled it off so well. And that was a big a big flaw in The Walking Dead for years was trying to touch back to things and trying to link to old stories, and it just, it kind of fell flat.
There was like no payoff.
The most insulting attempt they ever did at that was Morales.
Oh, yeah.
When they brought Morales back in season 8, at the end of episode 803, and then bring him in episode 804, or it might have been 802, 803, and then just kill him. I was just like, are you serious? Did y'all really, like, the disrespect I feel as a fan from that moment. It was great to see him again. It was cool. But why?
This felt so much like the Morgan stuff before Morgan was a series regular. Right. When they saw Morgan a couple of times, and every time it kind of connected, you know, like the phrases and the locations and the themes connected, you know, when it was him at the beginning, and then they found him when he was kind of going crazy in that house. And they set up so much and paid it off. And I think this did that with a side character that didn't think was going to matter. And I really, really love how they were able to write that in.
I wonder if it was the same actress in there. I don't know.
I just like the story progression. I like that things are actually moving. We're not getting stalled out on episodes. Like, yeah. I honestly, halfway through the episode, I thought it was over because I got an entire story and then, oh, wait, commercial break. They're back and a whole nother side of the story.
That you say that going. Is that... the story really didn't move forward. Yeah, if you think about it, it feels like it did, though, which is great. Like, that's the best part is the story ended at the exact same point where last week's episode ended. Yeah. I remember there was like an episode, season 2 of Lost started the same exact way. It started with like the raft and then and Jack and Locke in the hatch. And then episode 2 was literally the same story, but from a different perspective. And I was I hated it. I was like, I just waited a week to go nowhere. And this worked so well because it was a completely different story, gave you
and a backstory,
flashbacks, the backstory, and it all worked so well. And then when that satellite crashes through the sky, you're like,
it brings it all together.
This is when,
and at that moment, you're like, oh, this is going to end with her seeing Carol. This is like, great. This is exactly what it's going to end.
So then that's exactly where I was going. We end with Alpha versus Carol. And I think with the story you get here, it totally changes that showdown because you know Alpha's horrible for killing Carol's son. But you kind of understand Alpha a lot more, which changes that. Because last week when you see this, you're like, oh, I hate her. Just kill her off right now. Carol, kill her. And you still, I mean, I'm rooting for Alpha to not survive.
Yeah.
But it's so different because you understand that that's a character who's in pain, who's doing what she's doing to survive, not just to be a villain. Yeah. You know?
And that, I think that sets up, I love how they set up her and Beta's conflict. Like, obviously, they were great at the end of the episode. Like, great. They were good with one another. But... you know, so much of the comic is the conflict that boils over from Beta thinking that Alpha's gone soft and him thinking that she is too human because she taught him all these things and he held on to them and she never really fully lost her humanity. And I'm really excited to see where that goes with this show, you know, to see how that keeps playing.
I'm surprised that there wasn't more of a conflict. Like, he just kind of like snapped out of it so quickly.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I'm curious to see... how quickly the Whisperer War starts, because in the books, the first issue of the Whisperer War is brutal. I mean, Father Gabriel gets... spoilers for the comics. If you're not familiar with the comics, we're going to talk about that a little bit right now. Father Gabriel gets the most brutal death in the comics, I mean, possibly ever, maybe besides Glenn. And at that point, Alpha is already dead. Negan goes off and kills Alpha. So I don't know if that's going to happen on the show. It seems like they're really pitting up... They're playing up the Carol-Alpha rivalry. So if they have someone else kill Alpha, I feel like fans will feel a bit cheated, but I also want to see that Negan storyline come to life.
I can't imagine them killing off Alpha for a while, though, right?
That's the thing.
Sometimes through the season, like, I could see a mid-season finale thing where it's like they're building this whole Whisperer conflict, and then you're like, oh, my God, Alpha, she's the most dangerous person, and then all of a sudden, like, she's gone, and you realize just how terrifying Beta really is, and that he's truly the villain to be afraid of, which is what happened in the comics. And, I mean, I think it all boils down to Alpha's humanity, and that at the end of the day, Alpha still has a shred of her person.
Just for her daughter.
What's very interesting, though, is that you say the mid-season finale, and I feel like it could happen before that.
Really?
Because Angela Kang moves this thing fast. And also, we have casting. Like, Princess is coming this season. Princess is a character from the comics who's just ridiculous. She wears a pink fur coat.
Yeah.
She's absurd, but she comes after the Whisperer War.
Well, I think they're going to tie that, not together, but it's going to kind of do some overlapping, because she's more of a standalone thing
that, but she is introduced on the journey to the Commonwealth.
Right.
So also you have to think about Maggie's coming back this season. which is what we're going to talk. Something we're going to talk about.
Thank God.
We don't know where Maggie is. She's off with Georgie, probably the Commonwealth or some version of the Commonwealth. We learned that the three ring symbol from the helicopters is a sign that means three communities. Maggie is with one of those communities. TWD3, which we're going to talk about in a minute, is one of those communities, and Rick is at another one of those communities, and they're all different. And so, Princess is obviously going to be, if they're going to follow the comics, probably along the road to one of those communities. And we don't head to one of those communities until after the Whisperer War. But because could you imagine seeing, like, the group in the comics is Michonne, Sadiq, Eugene, Yumiko, Magna. I think that's it. There might have been one other person with them. And they're the ones who take the ride up to Ohio to the Commonwealth for the first time. And they meet Princess along the way. Could you see any of those characters leaving during the Whisperer War? They're not going to be able to spare anybody.
The thing is, I don't think that the Whisperer War in the show is going to play out like the comic.
And I kind of hope not.
It's certainly not going to play out like the last couple of wars have played on the show. I think this is going to be much more of a Cold War type buildup, where it's all setting up and moving pieces behind backs and small things. And I think we'll get one or two episodes of big conflict. But I think it's not going to be drawn out. Like, All Out War was a whole season. No, Whisperer War will last. I think the whole war thing will end up being an episode or two. What's really fun about this story and what can be taken from this story and what we want to see in this story is the evolution of the survivors and how the Whisperers affect them and how the Whisperers act in and of themselves. And I think that is all being played out around this war, and I think they'll kind of intersect quickly, but in conjunction with the arrival of the Commonwealth, and I think it'll kind of move past that, and it gives them a reason to leave because the Whisperer threat is kind of pending. But
at the same time,
it'll be much different.
Maybe Michonne leaves, and on her way out, she just meets Princess, and then Princess doesn't have a role in the show.
I'll give you one more.
Here we go. In the comics.
If you're listening, Charlie just sat up. One of my favorite moments in the comics is in the last, 20 issues, when they go to the Commonwealth.
Sure.
And Michonne finds her daughter. That is an incredible moment in the comics.
Oh, my God.
When she first sees her comic. When
she's going to go to the Commonwealth and find Rick Ross.
Her story is going to end with her seeing Rick. And that's that. They're gonna. Like, I mean, how else do you write her off?
But then, how do you write the Rick movie?
It's gonna take place before that. The Rick movie's gonna take place right now while all this other stuff is happening.
Yeah, but so why didn't Rick come back?
Because we're gonna find out in the Rick movie. That's what's gonna tell the story. But he's gonna say, "I have so much." Her story is gonna end with Rick saying, "I have so much to tell you." And the Rick movie, is gonna show what happened to Rick.
You have to do that in a Rick Grimes accent, though.
What is his accent at this point now?
Because he's so much to tell you.
Country.
It's not as bad anymore. It was so bad early on.
Michonne. Carl's still dead. I'm not coming back. Carl. He's going to be like, we had a son. I didn't even know.
Yeah, I had no clue.
All right. Maggie's coming back. They announced at New York Comic Con. It was really clever. If you haven't seen the video, I think you can find the video on our website, comicbook.com/The Walking Dead. It was really funny. So they were wrapping up the Walking Dead panel, and they were doing fan questions, and this woman comes up, and she's terribly nervous. You could hear it in her voice, that her voice is cracking. And Hardwick is like, oh, great question, blah, blah, blah. And then this other person asks a question. This other woman comes up, and she's really nervous. And it all just was hilarious. And this woman was dressed up as Negan wearing a Jason mask, and she asked Norman Reedus, if you could rename Dog, what would you name him? And Daryl was just Norman, Daryl. Norman was like, I think I'd call him Merle, because it'd be funny. Like, come here, Merle. Come here, Merle. I think Daryl would kind of enjoy being like, good boy, Merle. And then Hardwick, noticed the costume and was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Can you come take a selfie with all of us? And she, came up on the stage and was, freaking out. Like, oh, my God, dropped her phone. It was really hilarious. And then Hardwick, organized everybody for a selfie. And then the Jason mask came off, and it was Lauren Cohen, who sat in the crowd at New York Comic Con. Could you imagine being the fan who sat next to Lauren Cohen and didn't know?
You didn't know.
I would hate myself. I'd never forgive myself. But that's how they announced she's coming back. I asked Angela Kang, is this a season 10 thing? Is this next year, season 11? Because the show has been renewed for season 11. It's going to outlive us all. And she said that she's a regular for season 11. She'll be back full-time season 11. But season 10 could be the beginning of it. So I think late in season 10, we'll see Maggie return.
So this wasn't a surprise to the other cast members?
It was a surprise to their cast members. They found out the day before that Lauren's coming back to the show. They found out in that moment that
that was her.
Then if she appears in season 10, it has to be like a standalone scene with her to bring her back.
I think what that means to me is that season 11, Whisperers are gone. This is over with. We are focusing on the larger world. We're focusing on the Commonwealth or wherever Maggie went. We're getting a whole new set.
If this was 3 years ago, my fear would be they were bringing in her because they have to call the Commonwealth to set up to get help for this war with the Whisperers, and they're going to extend it and bring this other community into it.
No.
But I don't think that's – I think you're 100% right. Mm-hmm. I think this is all done.
By the time Michonne leaves –
the Alpha, all of them.
By the time Michonne leaves, I think the Whisper War is either done or finishing. And that she's leaving with about 4 episodes left in the season.
When you say the Whisper War is ending, does it – because I don't read ahead in the comics, does it result in like all the Whisperers are wiped off the face of the earth, or did they just move on?
Well, Alpha's not even around for the Whisperer War. Beta is like the lone survivor, and his death is kind
of
whack.
I mean, but once he dies, the rest of the Whisperers kind of like lose any direction.
Beta kind of inherits the Whisperers, and then one night, like Jesus and Aaron are having a little campfire loving, and Beta sneaks up on him, and then like one of them just stabs him in the back.
Oh.
And that's it. Like, that's literally it.
I hope Beta gets a different ending.
I hope Daryl.
I mean, Jesus is dead, so.
I hope Daryl or Aaron get to come face to face with Beta and do something about it. Because, I mean, Aaron should be pretty pissed off about the Whisperers because they killed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, were they a thing? I don't know.
I mean,
if you ask Ross Mark Bond, he'd say, I bet they hooked up.
This would be a great way for them to end Negan's story, too, if they're going to the Commonwealth. Because there's no way Negan can go to the Commonwealth. There's absolutely no way.
Why not?
Because Maggie. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, it barely works with Michonne. There's no way Maggie.
I really hope we get that moment that we kind of got it when they thought Lauren Cohen might never come back, where Maggie kind of forgives him or just doesn't kill him type thing. I would love to see that fully realized comic book moment between them where
it'd be nice. I don't know if they can pull that off at this
point. Also, and the last thing we're going to talk about today is this TWD3. They released a trailer and they don't have a title yet. So that's a bold play. I watched the trailer like 4 times now. I'm not tremendously impressed, to be honest with you. I feel like it looks like Freeform's The Walking Dead, and I say that knowing Charlie's pissed off because he's a huge fan of Cloak & Dagger.
And then can we say it's Freeform. The CW version?
It's the same, which is the same thing.
Well, but we don't want to touch his Cloak & Dagger.
No, I think Cloak & Dagger.
But I don't. It's fine to like shows on Freeform and CW. That's not my bag. My point is, it looks a little bit lower budget, and it looks like it's aimed at teenagers.
It does. Yeah,
that's my thing. And what I think that they're missing, if that's the case, well, I don't know. Maybe this is just an early trailer. Maybe there's very interesting characters, but. Where I'm not here for the world of The Walking Dead. Maybe years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, there's bigger stuff out there. They've just dangled this carrot in front of us for way too long that I'm just like, I don't care anymore. I'm not interested in the world so much as I am in the characters.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
See, I disagree to an extent. I do. I mean, obviously, I care about these characters. These characters are really important. Mm-hmm. But like we're talking about this episode, there are parts of this world that I do want to explore.
But this doesn't look like
Saying this was it. I just mean the world in general. Like when they were in this episode, when they're in that psychiatric hospital, like I made the comment, like this, I would watch a whole show, like with a couple of characters set in this, you know, really low budget because you're in one location, you don't really have to have a big budget, but a show about true gritty horrific survival, mm-hmm. and you know that would work.
What you're saying, we were talking about like, oh, it would be so cool to just see the zombie outbreak in a mental hospital.
Yeah,
what would happen? How trippy that could be. But that's just a scenario. That doesn't have to be The Walking Dead.
No.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't have to be The Walking Dead.
What I mean by the world is I think it's cool. There are pockets of the world that will be interesting to see. It's going to be cool to see Nebraska and wherever they take it and all this different stuff that we haven't seen and kind of shine the lights on the dark parts of this map. But it's like the world itself, like the mythology of it. Like I'm not so interested really in is there a community out there? Is there a city out there? But,
like, aren't we getting that with Commonwealth? Like, that's exactly. What I don't understand.
I think the show's going to tie into that.
It's going to tie into that.
Well,
maybe
it's
this
also
is just
like
a one
this
season
a,
thing. Maybe it just leads up to
it looks like
that.
A coming-of-age story for some teenagers. And I actually would have appreciated it more if it was, like, four little kids who are like, we want to see zombies, and they like take off like Stranger Things.
I mean, that's essentially what happens.
I would associate more with younger characters. These teenagers, I'm just not interested in like.
And part of the problem is that they're taking this brand of The Walking Dead, wanting to expand it to a new audience with teenagers. Like, that's clearly their goal.
Sure.
But like, you're forcing it as TWD3, as a new The Walking Dead. You're not going to get new viewership on a Walking Dead spinoff. Like, no one's going to care because if they don't already care about The Walking Dead, they're not going to care about this. I don't think. And
you have to market completely differently if you want to get a new audience.
You start from the scratch and then eventually tie it in and call it something different. Don't call it Fear the Walking Dead. Don't call it Escape the Walking Dead. Just call it something completely new. And
don't call it the title they kind of want to call it, which was said in the trailer. I'm not going to say anything because it won't be called this, I don't think. There's a temporary title they had tossed around and they'd say it in the trailer. Not a good idea.
A lot of people.
I think there are ways to do this, and they're not doing it.
A lot of people in the comments section of the actual trailer were like, "These teens would never survive. Like leaving. That's just not believable in any way."
I mean,
It's kind of like when Aaron left Alexandria.
She threw up on a stagnant zombie. Like,
I think the concept is interesting, though, that like her father is out there trying to.
It reminds me of Fallout 3 when it's like he's chasing after his father in the wasteland trying to find his dad.
But like the fact that she can't kill a walker, like
we
have been down this road before.
Right.
Multiple times on both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. When you meet a character who can't kill a walker or refuses to kill somebody or starts Gimple speak and I can't do this because of what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And no, this is about survival and that's why we're watching this show.
I mean, the one thing going for them, the one thing I will say in their favor is that they established that it's way down the road. It's, you know, and we've seen on The Walking Dead that zombies have decayed and are decrepit and are less, a little less dangerous as time goes on when they're not being like mobilized by whisperers. And they're in Nebraska where there are just like way less people than Atlanta and DC.
True.
The interesting thing about it is that if you go back to Walking Dead season 2, one of my favorite moments, and this might have been one of the moments that helped me fall in love with The Walking Dead, is when the two guys in the bar with Herschel and Rick say, if we can't come to the farm, where are we supposed to go? And Rick says, I hear Nebraska's nice. Now we're going to Nebraska. I wonder if that was intentional. But that's where we will end After the Dead today, everybody. Please, if you want to join the conversation, we would love to talk with you guys on social media. Use the hashtag After the Dead. Take a screenshot of us. Post it on Instagram. Use hashtag After the Dead. We will search it and come comment. I promise we will. Or do it on Twitter, and you can hit us up directly. You can find me at Brandon Davis BD.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler.
And I'm at Charlie Ridgely.
And you can also watch Janelle on Twitch. She bakes cupcakes and stuff.
I play video games. Oh, no, I also like kill walkers. I've played The Walking Dead on stream. That was super fun.
Well, yeah, if you need a little extra entertainment, I suggest that as well. Stay tuned to comicbook.com/The Walking Dead for interviews and all kinds of breakdowns and everything. And share our After the Dead podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review if you had a good time. If you can find a way to leave a 6-star, that's cool too. That'll help us, I don't know, whatever we need help with. And I don't know, it's good to have people listen and we can keep doing cool stuff and get guests on here. And you know, the spiel that Kofi gives on our Comic Book Nation podcast, I don't know, listen to us, Google Plus, the Polar Express, YouTube, I don't know. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are available, so do that too. BD out.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.